In the summer of 2005, our technicians were doing what they normally do every summer. They were upgrading some PCs in one of our walk-up student centers. And for very boring reasons, I had to go and have a look at a problem that they were having in getting our image onto those PCs. This is something that I also do. So I went there and we resolved the problem, and we left the machines imaging themselves and installing Windows, and we locked the door and left because the center obviously wasn't ready for students to use yet. A month later, I needed to go back and look at the hardware to get some details from it. So I got the key from the operators because the center still hadn't been open yet, and I went and unlocked the door, and there they all were, sitting at the login dialog where we left them a month ago, powered on the whole time behind the locked door. And I thought, we really ought to be able to do at least a little bit better than this. I mean, that's ridiculous. But then I started thinking about it even further, and I realized it was actually worse, because this locked room with 20 PCs in it was really kind of symptomatic of the rest of our 1,600 walk-up PCs that we had at the time, because they were all in buildings that were locked for 16 hours out of each day, and all day on the weekends. We had almost no 24-hour capacity at the time. So even though this center looked terrible to me because it had been behind a locked door for a month, we weren't doing a whole lot better in any other centers either. So that was when I started thinking about what we could do about this problem. Now, obviously, a lot of you have already been thinking about the problem, so these first couple of slides that I'll be doing will be a bit basic. So I'll probably go through them fairly quickly. The problem we have is that computers are left on all the time, regardless of whether they're in use. Now, everybody's been through the path of trying to change people's behavior, but this is extremely difficult, and we judge that with students it would actually be impossible because they're not the owners of the PC. It isn't sensible to ask them to power the machines off when they leave. And, of course, at the end of the day, it's not the students who decide that it's the end of the day, there may be another class coming in. So it was impossible from a behavior point of view. So we really needed some kind of automatic power saving mechanism. So we started thinking about, what are our goals? Well, the main goal, obviously, is to reduce power consumption significantly. But we only wanted to do that when PCs are idle. We didn't want to risk losing any data, particularly student data. And being a university, of course, we wanted to do it without paying a penny. So we started looking, as most people do, at the obvious thing, which is the built-in capabilities of Windows. So we looked at hibernating and standing by. Well, hibernating is nice. We went out to map and watt meters with the watt meters, and we discovered that our standard PCs ran at about 2 watts when they were hibernating, which is pretty good. So that's really good. But we found that it can have issues in a network environment. If you hibernate while a user is logged in, you may have problems when the computer resumes, because it can take up to 15 seconds for Windows to fully restore things like your network connection. During that 15 seconds, all your applications, which are for some reason much faster, go, oh my goodness, I can't see the document you had open on your network drive anymore, whatever shall I do? And some of them come up and complain quite bitterly. So we thought, that's not terribly good. The other problem that we had is to do with DHCP. We were in the process at that time of switching over from fixed IP to DHCP, and however long you set your DHCP lease for, on staff machines, people may take their laptops and go on holiday anywhere for a month. And when they come back, the computer may expect to be using the same IP address that it had before, because it hasn't talked to the DHCP server in the meantime. Or someone who goes on holiday for 3 weeks with a desktop computer left there in hibernate. It'll come back up and try to use the same DHCP address that it had before. The problem is, it tries to talk to the DHCP server during that 15 seconds when the network isn't working. So it says, oh gosh, I can't see the DHCP server. I'm just going to carry on using the IP address you gave me a few weeks ago. Meantime, the DHCP server has helpfully given it to somebody else because you didn't respond to requests for such a long time. The real fun with this is that it's not you that gets the message about the IP conflict, it's the other PC that gets the message about the IP conflict, and there's absolutely nothing they can do about it because they don't know who did it. So we thought, that's not terribly good either. We looked at standby as well. And, of course, it has good power reduction. There are multiple levels of standby, so you can't say in advance how good a power reduction you're going to get. It's not as good as hibernate, necessarily. It has all the same problems upon resumption that you can have with hibernation. We also looked at powering down hard disks, but in practice we found this never happened, because on a typical university PC, you get your antivirus, you get your Windows defender, you get your spyware things, and they are all updating on a much more frequent schedule than you might like between them. So even if you set your disk to standby after like 5 minutes idle, we found that generally they almost never did it. So it wasn't really worth it as a thing in itself. It certainly wasn't going to get us significant power saving by itself. Then while we're still looking at whether we might use Hibernate or Standby, we made the horrible discovery that Windows XP and Windows 2000 store your settings in current user file, so HP current user. So if you use whatever means to tell the registry that you want it to stand by after 20 minutes idle in the normal Windows power options, that's stored for the user, not for the computer. So you can't make a setting for a computer using Windows as it is out of the box, which I find very strange. Also, all of our students have roaming profiles. So that current user hive goes with them where they go. And they turn into little typhoid mirrors. So if they're set for 20 minutes standby, then they go to the staff machine, and suddenly it's set for 20 minutes standby, and so on. When nobody's logged in, it's whoever was last logged in, their settings, that are used for the machine when nobody's logged in. So it's very difficult to defeat this peculiar way that Windows did things. And for XP, there is no policy mechanism for providing enforced power settings. So for these reasons, we judge that the built-in capabilities were inadequate. I'll be coming back to that in a bit, because we have revisited it recently. So, can't use built-in stuff. How about third-party utilities? So we started looking at those. And the first thing that we noticed, of course, is that strangely they're not free. They don't give them away to us, which is unfortunate. Another thing that we noticed when looking at some of the really big suites is that vendors calculate what they think they will save you and then charge you that. And quite often they will use what I consider to be wildly overinflated values for what they will save you. They will say things like, the typical PC uses 300 watts. When the typical PC does not use 300 watts, you have to be actively running a game or something like that to get that kind of number. So they say it's going to be 300 watts and that they will save you this many hours and they charge you what you would have paid for electricity, which strikes me as a very strange way to do things. So we thought, we're probably not going to want to use that. We also looked at various freeware client utilities, like there was one called Local Cooling that was making a lot of noise a couple of years ago. But we found that those are all limited to using the underlying Windows capabilities, standby, Hibernate, and registry problems, and they were very geared toward a person who was always using the same PC and other people never using that PC. So again, we didn't really particularly want to go down that road. So we looked at some that do a centrally managed solution where you basically have a server, and the server can be told, all right, tell all these machines to shut themselves down at whatever time to keep things from being running all night. But there were a couple of problems with this from our point of view, one of which may be very specific to us, which is we don't actually run server service on any of our PCs because we have no need for it, and we see no reason why every PC should sit there pretending to be a server and inviting itself to be infected. And we were not about to turn on the server service just so that a machine could contact it and tell it to shut down at 8 o'clock at night. The second problem, which may be more applicable from our point of view, was that if I have a central solution that says, all right, everybody powers down at 8 p.m., well, nearly everybody went home a really long time before 8 p.m. A lot of them went at 4. Most of them were gone by 5:30. So all I'm getting is a very not aggressive reduction in the amount of wasted time. I would much rather have something that noticed that you went home at 5:30 and powered down accordingly, rather than something that's going to shut everybody down as if they were the same. So we didn't get anywhere with that. Now bear in mind, this is 2005, so some things have come a long way since then. But our conclusions at the time were that we didn't want to use standby, we didn't want to use hibernation, and the only thing that was left to us was shutting down. That's really the only thing that gave us significant power cut. But obviously we can't be shutting down while people are logged in, because if we do that, then we have a mutiny on our hands. So we can only shut down while nobody is logged on. In other words, when it's sitting at the control button in front. We decided this wasn't very aggressive, but it was completely safe. And it would be very good for walk-up computers, which after all was where I started in the first place with student computers. Where it isn't terribly good is staff computers, because of course staff come in at 8 o'clock, log on, go off to meeting, disappear, come back at 5, forget to log off, go home, the thing is left running all the time, and I don't do anything to it because there's a user logged on. But still, we thought we'll start with what we can. So we came up with an idea which we found could be done with batch files and freeware at no cost. We thought that would give us something. The batch files, of which there are two, basically there's one that does the installation, and all it does is create a scheduled task to run my power saving batch file, which is the other batch file. It also copies the power saving batch file somewhere local, and copies the two freeware utilities, which are PS Shutdown and PS Logdown, which were part of the SysInternals suite of wonderful utilities recently eaten by Microsoft. All the power-saving batch file does, when it's invoked by the scheduled task, is determine whether anybody's logged on using PS Logdown, which is very reliable, and if nobody is logged on, then it shuts down. Very simple. So then we thought, what problems might we encounter? Well, some people really may need to opt out. Some people need to have their machines running when there's nothing going on and nobody logged on. And the first people were the people who run Condor, which is a grid application. Another thing that we found quite a lot of is people who have turned on the server service and, say, are sharing a printer with other people in their group. We can't necessarily shut their machine down, because just because they're gone doesn't mean that the people who are using their resources are gone. So, all we had to do was supply a discretionary opt-out mechanism, and we did that just by creating a client file. Then, we used our normal application distribution methods, which was NAL at the time, the NAL application version, to allow people to just choose opt-out of power saving. And we didn't ask for a reason, and we didn't really require people to justify it in any way. The second problem that we ran across after we started is that sometimes things like Sophos or Windows Defender will say, oh, you've got PS Shutdown on your computer, and we consider that to be a dangerous application. And you can see why. So all we had to do was, in the registry, flag it as an exception. The problem we expected to happen has never happened, which is for PS Logged On to let us down and tell us nobody was logged on, and we were shut down when somebody wasn't logged on. That has never happened. We ran this for a good 3 years, and it never happened. I've also never heard from anybody else using it having it happen. We have had students who thought it happened. We have some Dell computers, GX270s, that are particularly prone to overheating. And they tend to just go, boom, power themselves off abruptly, and people would think this was power saving. Well, I need to save power. I'm not sure that counts. So the results that we had, well, no problems. And as I was collecting statistics at the time we were still using this, we were getting about 4,500 shutdowns per day, most of which were on the student PCs, which of course are used serially. There were about 3,500 computers participating in it. A lot of the staff machines were not. I don't mean that they didn't have it installed, just that people were managing it anyway, and there was nothing left for it to do. We were astonished to find that we were avoiding 1 million hours of idle time a month. 1 million hours of idle time per month. Which at the time we were only paying about 5p a kilowatt. But now we're paying 12, so it's a bit more. It comes up to about £12,000 a month. The average daily megawatt hours that we were saving came to about 3.3 daily. And the daily CO2, this is a calculation based on a DEFRA figure of how many kilograms of CO2 we emit per kilowatt hour, comes up to that number. So if you want to try it, it's really quite simple. You download a zip file which contains the batch files. You customize them for your requirements. For example, we were shutting down after 30 minutes idle, but you might want to do that with 20 or a longer number or whatever. And then you go to SysInternals and download the two utilities. Microsoft is downloading the two utilities, and that's all you really need to do. I'm not done, because things have moved on since then. After we've been running this for a while, you become more aware of the limitations. The first one is that there's no reporting. Technically, there is reporting. I have reporting. But I've never found a way to make it available to people because it's so hideously complicated. It involves more batch files and executables and massive database and millions of records, and it's really a bit scary. So I've never been able to make that available to anybody else. Also, it's not very flexible. It really only does one thing. It's a bit inconvenient to modify after rollout. If you roll it out saying, shut down after 30 minutes live, or you decide what. Quite like it to be 20 minutes, then you're going to modify all the batch files on all the machines. But the real problem is that it's not very effective for staff-style working patterns. Because, of course, staff don't work with walk-up computers. That is the biggest single shortcoming. And here's how I know. The big limitation. What you're seeing here, this is a graph showing inactivity of about between 4,000 and 5,000 staff machines. All of these machines, or very nearly all of them, are running my power down. Each of the fingers, there's about five fingers there, is a week. So you see the spike in usage followed by a trough at the weekend. You probably can't see it. The number at the top of the y-axis is 20,330. That's every single weekday. The highest we got was about 20,330. which is really terrible. But the one that really bothers me is actually the weekends, because we only dip down to about 12,000. 12,000 pointless hours of idle time on the weekend. This adds up to an awful lot of extra time. These are my staff machines, they're the problem. So, what if you want to do something more? Well, in April 2008, we started looking at a product called PowerMan, which at the time I was just beta testing. We didn't really intend to switch to it. We were just looking at what it could do. But if, as it turned out, if it had existed at the time, back in 2005, we would have just bought it and not bothered writing our own thing. Because what it effectively does is give Windows the capabilities that people at Microsoft didn't bother to write in the first place. So I'm going to give you a quick overview of how it works. First, and this makes people like me happy, the installation is trivial. There's a single executable, you copy it into place, and all the commands it needs are built into it. So you copy powerman.exe into place, you type powerman install. Install. You can do powerman stop, you can do powerman start, you can do powerman restart. There's all kinds of things that you can need that you can do. You can do powerman remove if you want. But where the fun really comes in is that it's controlled by group policy. So it has extra policy settings to let you manage it the same way that you probably already do lots of other Windows policies. So you can have as many policies as you need for as many different kinds of computers as you have. You can treat walk-up computers different from staff computers. You can treat one group of staff computers completely differently from another group as long as you are able to identify them as a group and make a policy that applies to them. Because it's policy, it's very easy to modify. If I want to change from 30 minutes to 20 minutes, I go into the policy, I change a number, job done. And as you can see, this is the, at the time that the screenshot came along, I'm not sure if it's changed, but this is what you see when you're in the policy editor. So there are lots of different things that you can configure. The two that you're most immediately interested in are these two down at the bottom, the no user power settings, and what's called default user power settings, basically what you're putting here governs what happens when nobody's logged in. So finally, you can tell the machine what it's supposed to do, not a user. And this is what happens when a user is logged in. So you can do something much more aggressive when no user is logged in, power off. And something a bit less aggressive, like stand by when a user is logged in. And you can have different amounts of time for those things. But my favorite bit has come to be the built-in reporting. Now, in the beginning, I was a bit flip about this and said, oh, it's got graphs that make managers happy. And I didn't really think anything more of that. But the graph on the previous slide came to me by PowerMan. When we started rolling it out on staff machines, even though I wasn't asking it to do anything, the policies weren't configured to do anything other than record, that's how I got the graph on the previous slide, showing me that horrible 20,330 number. So it's really easy to do to find out where you stand now, is you roll out PowerMan, just the executable, configure the bare minimum so that it reports in, don't bother with your policies yet, and just see how bad things are. And they were bad. So I'll talk about a couple of the main features. I'm leaving out 90% of it, believe me. But these are all things that you can control by group policy. You can control monitor timeout, hard disk timeout, and what to do when the computer itself is idle. You can have it log off, you can have it standby, hibernate, or power off. You can have different actions and timeouts for whether when a user is logged in versus no user logged in. And you can even have completely different settings for when it's running on AC versus DC, so you can handle what laptops and all you need to do. Now, obviously, if it's not a laptop, it's got no DC, so you just ignore that. But this all ends up mixed and matched. So you can have it stand by after 30 minutes when a user is logged in, but power off after 10 minutes when no user is logged in, but stand by after only 10 minutes if you're on DC. You can control it any way you like, whatever works for you. There's also a mechanism for specifying exceptions, files, processes. So if you have Condor machines, and you can say what it looks like when Condor is running, you know, this file exists or this service is running, then you can simply configure it as an exception. And even if the timeout comes along, it will say, right, I'm not going to do anything. It also has scheduled wake and shutdown. So you can say, right, if it's running at 10 p.m., shut it down. Or you can say, wake it up at 6 o'clock to get your automatic updates from our pal Bill. I don't actually use any of that functionality, but it's in there. And again, there's loads of stuff in there that I'm not using at the moment. One thing that's in there because we asked for it is that one of the exceptions you can configure is if the server service is running, then don't do any power management. But again, it's the reporting that has really stolen my heart. The built-in reporting is fantastic. You essentially get it just sort of along the way. You can easily see the overviews, like that graph I had previously. Or you can work your way down to the individual computers that make up the big numbers that you see on the front page. This makes it very easy to identify your culprits. So, for example, on this little cut-down list here, you can see several machines with a little bit of pink and a little bit of green. But then we've got this guy. What's he doing? So he's the one that I want to look at and find out what his problem is. Notice that each computer is a link, so you can click on it to see exactly what it's going to do. And also notice that you can export things using the link at the lower left. You can set the date range that you require. You can decide whether you want to see your worst or best and how many. So we decided we would start using this for our staff machines. And in my rollout, I'm afraid I got a bit complicated because that's what I do. We were going to just have one setting, you know, standby after 60 minutes or something like that. But when we rolled it out to the test group, which was ourselves, the IT department, we found that we got more resistance from being unable to say, all right, I want a little bit of wiggle room on that 60 minutes, than we liked. So what I did was I made a lot of different policies with standby after 15 minutes, standby after half an hour, standby after 60 minutes, hybrid after 15 minutes, and so on. And I configured each of the policies only to apply to an AD group. And then I made this little utility, which each user can run on their own machine to choose which of those policies they want to opt into. And all the utility does is go off and make that computer a member of that group. So thereby the policy applies to them, whereas previously it did not. And because the policies for what to do when a user is logged on is completely separate from what to do when no user is logged on, I can actually give them two choices. And people can do whatever is appropriate for them. So standby after 15 minutes when a user is logged on, and hybrid after 10 minutes when no user is logged on. So I can basically give them as many choices as we feel are appropriate. And then they can pick what they want. This has an amazing effect on how willing people are to do it. So that's my little utility there. It's not something that comes with power there. But I'll give you a copy if you like. At the moment, we have 7 different policies for what to do when a user is logged on, and 6 different policies for what to do when no user is logged on. Now, for each of them, one of the choices I do give staff is do nothing. This is because we do have people who have a legitimate reason why they don't want to do something. But when you choose do nothing, when you click set, I will actually publicly ask you for a reason and warn you that the reason may eventually be seen by your management. This is just intended to shame people into doing something if they're not really having a good reason to not do it. We have found that a number of people have chosen to opt out, and quite often their reasons are ones that, with a bit of education, they would have realized were not valid reasons. But at the moment, we're doing a sort of gently rollout. We may tighten up later depending on how that goes. Obviously, you don't need to do anything this complicated. We can make things more complicated than you probably have to. But then let's talk about results. This is what happens in the reporting when you click on a particular computer. You can see what it's been doing, days run down the left side, and time during the day runs across the x-axis. So it goes from midnight to 6 a.m. to noon to 6 p.m. to midnight again. Green is when someone was actually active at the keyboard, and the red or pink color is when they were not. So this is not my machine. This is a machine I picked out of the many that are now doing this. And you can see that before they made their choice off my little utility, they left their computer on all the time during the week. That's why you get those giant pink bars on the sides of the first 2 weeks. And you can see there was lots of work during the day. There's lots of green going on. But there's a suspicious chunk of inactivity around lunchtime, I notice. And then they opted into the setting to standby after 15 minutes idle. And you can tell when they did it. Boy, can you tell when they did it. Even that suspicious inactivity around lunchtime has turned into the computer was not powered on. So this person has gone from wasting a colossal amount of power to wasting almost nothing. So where we are now. Unfortunately, we're still in the process of rolling out to staff. It's been longer than I would have liked, partly because I made things so complicated. So we've got PowerMan rolled out on all our staff machines, about 5,500 of them now. But there are still about 2,000 computers that have not yet opted into a power level because, again, we're only popping the thing up for them to choose something at login time. There are a lot of people who never log out. Now, in a couple of weeks, I'll probably get a bit more power time and pop up when we're not logging out in order to get those people to opt in. But because we're trying to be gentle and not irritate people and put them off, we've been going for this sort of slow way of doing things. So I don't really have the sort of graph I'd like to have that goes shoo, because we're still very much in the process. but we have already cut idle time by about 25% on staff machines. I expect that eventually it'll be 75% or better, because it's tailored to whatever we require, so we can really use quite low down. Meanwhile, our walk-up computers are also using power on, and we've got a bit more ambitious there as well. We're not just powering off when nobody's logged on. Instead, we are hibernating when nobody's logged on after 10 minutes. So it's a much shorter time, it's not half an hour. And because we're hibernating, what we find is that the perception is that the computer boots much faster. Students always used to complain that it takes forever to boot the computer. So now, when they wake the machine up from hibernate, it takes about 35 seconds instead of 2 minutes for them to get to the point where their login is complete. Or sorry, where they get login, dialogue, and type their username and press enter. We've also started using a feature in PowerMan where we can force log off after a certain amount of time. And we've done something not very ambitious again, which is after 3 hours. We have a lot of occasions where somebody will give a class to outside people using what we call short course usernames. They're not their own accounts. And they leave them logged on the whole time the class is running, even if it's a week. And when they leave them logged on as well. And they're just going to sit there forever until someone goes and visits the machine. So this has been an absolutely wonderful thing. We can now kick these users off. But if we give them 3 hours of idle time, they can't really complain if we don't do anything then. I expect it'll probably take about another month before the staff rollout is complete. And I expect eventually that instead of 1 million hours a month, we'll be saving 2. So if you want to try it, that's the website and email that you will go to have a look.